Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Happy Friday, everybody. It is Sports Daily, and we are glad to be with you live right here on KFH. Right here on Facebook, on YouTube and X, of course, on 12 News Connected, right here on the Odyssey app, all the different ways that you take in the show. We appreciate it. Glad to have you here with us. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester, Jad Chambers producing. He's got hold of that IHOP hotline for you, which is wide open until 10 o'clock. You can find all your IHOP house faves right now there. All your favorites, just $6 Monday through Friday. With Thursday Night Football, highly entertaining, as we hoped. Very interesting game to look at. Another controversial ending to a Thursday Night Football game, which is too bad after a game like that, but it is what it is. And, you know, implications certainly in the AFC playoff chase. Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
Happy Friday. Good to see you today. It was a fun Thursday Night Football game last night. A good appetizer. It set the table for what should be a really good weekend of both college football and NFL football. And we've got a huge blue blood college basketball matchup tonight with KU. So there's a lot to get to today,
which will be exciting. I don't know anything about North Carolina, except that they're supposed to be good. But we're going to get a good test, certainly better than Howard for KU tonight. So we'll get into that a little bit later as well. Maybe some bets on that game that are available and out there, probably more so now than there were in the first week. Tommy, it was just a wildly entertaining game last night as we begin with Thursday Night Football. Wildly entertaining. I don't know what to take more away from the fact that the Ravens do, to me, feel vulnerable, or the Bengals maybe let it all slip away when they certainly should have won that game, or, again, two blown calls on a two-point conversion or a final play of a Thursday Night Football game. Like, first and foremost, NFL, figure that out. Like, get a system where you can buzz down and be like, yo, there was a face mask on that play. We saw it. You missed it. Throw the flag. The hold, maybe that's a little more debatable, although nobody on the planet doesn't think that was a hold. But the face mask, you can't. They missed two face masks on that drive. Two of them. How does that happen? That's what happened in the Rams-Vikings game. Like, we can't be missing those calls on those plays. Just buzz down and tell them. I don't understand that. I hate that keeps happening. Al Michaels frustrated during the game, and he never holds back. But come on, NFL, you got a primetime game like that. You can't let that happen.
There's really something very easy and simple to take away from the game last night. The Ravens are 7-3, and the Bengals are 4-6. That's just the bottom line at the end of the day. And you know what? I love how the very first thing you say is that the Ravens are vulnerable. They won the game, and they came from behind. They were down 14, and they scored 21 unanswered points and, you know, ultimately got the job done. Now, I know that there were calls at the end. I know, like, I watched it. I understand all of that. I don't disagree with you. But we always say, and everybody always says, you are what your record says that you are. And the Bengals couldn't afford to fall to 4-6. They needed to get back to 500. They weren't able to do that, weren't able to get that done. The Ravens, yeah, they've got flaws and deficiencies, but they just absolutely overpower their opponents, and it can pile up on you pretty quick. And that's what happened to the Bengals last night. They looked in control of the game early on, and then all of a sudden, here comes Lamar. The passing game was, you know, really solid in the second half for the Ravens. Derrick Henry added, you know, what he does for sure. And the Ravens showed why they, again, are the class of the AFC.
They're not the class of the AFC.
They 100% are the class of the AFC. Okay, the Chiefs and the Ravens are the class of the AFC.
Like, and they're not the class of the AFC.
Yes, they
over
are.
The Bills either. Why are they the class over the Bills?
I didn't say they're over the Bills, but what I'm saying is that they showed why they absolutely, and I said that they were going to do this going into the game last night, that they were going to show why they are probably, at least they feel like they are the biggest threat to the Chiefs, for the Chiefs to three-peat for a third Super Bowl in a row. And I believe that they did that last night.
Yeah, I don't think they're the biggest threat. I think you can't.
They absolutely are the biggest
threat. Their defense isn't very good, and that's the problem for me. They gave up 34 points last night. They gave up 24 points to the Browns. They gave up 26 points to the Raiders.
And how many points do they put up on the board every single week?
To the Cowboys.
They had 7 points at halftime, and they finished with 35.
I agree. Their offense is great. but their defense is terrible. And so, like, that's a major flaw and a major deficiency on a team that wants to win.
I don't want to say that their I don't think their defense is horrible. I think their defense is opportunistic. I think where their defense can actually, you know, come in and bail them out is when they can force turnovers. And they did that to the Bengals last night. And so I think that that's, yeah, like, you know, snap in and snap out, down in and down out. They're not a great defense. But when they can force turnovers and be opportunistic, that's where they can then go and support and help out that fantastic offense that Baltimore has.
Well, statistically speaking, and I know they played last night, but even if you took last night's game away, they've given up more yards than any team in football. They have allowed more touchdowns, and they would be tied, if not for last night, than any team in football. So they're not just kind of bad defensively. They're one of the worst defensive teams in football, like by any metric that you look at. So that's a flaw. And I think it was shown again last night when a team puts up 34 points. When they get to the postseason, they're going to have to be playing. And they made a trade. They brought in Tre'Davious White. Maybe that helps long term. They brought it. They brought in Preston Smith too, right? So they made some moves to try and get better defensively, but it's a flawed team.
It 100% is a flawed team, but it's inaccurate for you to say that by every single metric, they are a bad defense. When you combine what they're doing and forcing turnovers compared to the offense's lack of propensity to turn the ball over, they're in the top 10 in turnover differential this year in the league. They're forcing turnovers. You have to give them credit for that. It's not just that, yeah, they're giving up a bunch. And I just said that. They give up a bunch of yards. They give up a bunch of points. But when that defense can be opportunistic and force takeaways, that absolutely helps prop up the defense from top to bottom.
They're a good run defense. I will give them credit there. But they better be a lot better defensively than they've been so far, or they're not going to win a Super Bowl. It's not going to happen. You can't. When was the last time we saw a defense that bad win a Super Bowl?
Man, it's been a few years. It's been a few years.
I can't think of one. And so, like, they better figure that out. Cincinnati screwed their season up. Like, they're I don't want to say they're toast yet.
They are toast. They've been toast all along. When we started talking Thursday Night Football was that you were going to completely run down the Ravens winning the game, but you were still going to talk about how the Bengals have a chance. Like, that's not the narrative coming out of this game.
And Tommy, like, if you believe in Indianapolis and Denver as much as you do, I'm happy for you. Do you think that Denver's going to win this weekend?
No, I don't think Denver's going to win this
weekend. Okay, well then Cincinnati's going to be a game behind Denver and likely have the same record as Indianapolis. They have to be the best of those three teams. You're so happy to come in and dunk on Cincinnati, and I'm happy for you there. They just blew that game.
They did.
They blew the game.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't understand why you hate Cincinnati so much.
It's not about me hating Cincinnati. That game last night played out exactly the way that I thought that game would play out. And I felt like going into the game, and I even said this on the show yesterday, that Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase can't do it all. They're fantastic players. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase showed out again. Joe Burrow has, you know, said on the record that he feels like he's playing the best football of his career. And I think he is. I mean, he's very quietly under the radar, putting up tons of stats, doing fantastic things. But those two cannot do it all. And last night was a prime example of that. I said that yesterday on the show that, you know, you cannot sum up a team solely based on two players. You can't say that, well, the Bengals are, you know, they're super dangerous and they're going to be a threat and blah, 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 blah. When you've got just two guys that are balling out and that's it, and nobody else is doing what they need to do to get the victory. And that's exactly what the Bengals are. They're wrapped up in that narrative whatsoever.
I agree. They're not good enough right now. The problem is, it's not a problem. The AFC reality is the two teams, the other teams vying for the last spot suck. And so, you know, it doesn't really matter because I don't think a team that we've seen only their only wins this year that come against Carolina, the Giants, the Raiders and the Browns, like we don't need to think about them right now until the end of the year if they climb their way back in it. And I hope that they don't for the Chiefs.
And I know that, like, you know, week in and week out, it doesn't matter what the Bengals' record has been. They were what? They started at 0-3 or whatever they were to start off the year. And week in and week out, you know, you came in here and you're like, watch out for the Bengals, watch out for the Bengals, watch out for the Bengals, watch out for the Bengals. Are you willing to put money on them making the playoffs right now? Do you think they will make the playoffs?
Yeah, I thought about that bet last night, and I didn't look at the odds. Here's the thing with Cincinnati for me. Now their road to get there is so long. I'll say it again: the two teams they're competing with, I think they are better than. But yeah, I would like to, for the Chiefs' sake. That's the team I don't want in there. That's the team that the Chiefs, you know, at home barely beat. That's the team that's taken the Ravens. Just hang on. That's a team that took the Ravens to overtime, should have taken the Ravens to overtime at minimum last night.
And what's the record in those three games? They're 0-3. The Ravens swept them and the Chiefs beat them.
I totally get it. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is they're a better team than Indianapolis and they're a better team than Denver. Kansas City will beat Denver by more than 1 point. What happened when the Ravens played Denver last week? What happened in that game?
The Ravens blew them out. The Ravens absolutely wiped the floor with them.
That's all I'm saying.
But I know that you are putting, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but I know that you're putting the Bengals up on this pedestal over Indianapolis and Denver solely because of Joe Burrow, right?
Absolutely. Not solely, but mostly, yes. Okay. Absolutely.
So Joe Burrow has started every single game for the Bengals this year, right? They played 10 games. They're 4-6. And in those marquee matchups, they've been swept by the Ravens and the Chiefs beat them. And, you know, at the end of the day, that is what it is. And that game against the Chiefs, that was inside Arrowhead, right? Like, and so those things happened. And I'm not trying to downgrade Joe Burrow. I think Joe Burrow is a great quarterback. I think that he's immensely talented. But there are so many other factors and components into the overall success of a team. Look at the Kansas City Chiefs, for example, and just their overall defense and what they do defensively. Like, there are so many other things that go into it where, like I said before, it can't just be Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and you call it good. And that's what the Bengals have banked on this entire year. Now, I will say, the Bengals better get Ja'Marr Chase signed. They better just offer him a blank check, whatever he wants, and lock him back in, because the worst thing that could happen to that franchise is to let him walk. And I know they've got salary cap issues. It's probably going to result in Joe Burrow needing to restructure his contract. I hope Burrow is willing to do that and sees the greater good in restructuring his contract so they can get Ja'Marr Chase signed. Because yeah, like those are the fundamentals of the team. Those are the cornerstones of the team. It's not unlike Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. Like, the Bengals have to have those two, but they also can't just have those two. They've got to continue to build on that and have, you know, like the better supporting cast around them if they want to get back to where they need to be. And I just don't think the Bengals have that right now.
They don't have it right now. You're misconstruing what I'm saying. Do you know who the odds on favorite of those three teams right now to make the postseason
is? I'm sure it's the Bengals.
So why do you act like I'm so crazy for saying they're better than Denver and they're better than Indianapolis?
I'm not saying that you're crazy by thinking they're better than those two teams. What I'm saying at the end of the day is that, yeah, like they do still have a path, and they do, you know, probably from a talent perspective, because of how high, you know, the top level of their talent is with Burrow and Chase, that, yeah, like Burrow's better than Bo Nix, Burrow's better than Joe Flacco, you know, Ja'Marr Chase is better than the receivers that those two teams have. But it's not like those two teams are slouches either, really. Like, I mean, look at, you know, Jonathan Taylor, you know, is still there, I believe, for the Colts. Like, they have weapons for sure. I like Denver's defense, although it wasn't good against the Ravens. And I think that gives a lot more credibility to what I'm saying about Baltimore. Because, yeah, while Baltimore, their defense overall is not very good, they only allowed 10 points against Denver last week. So I do think that, like, that those two teams do have talent, and they are where they are for a reason. I don't think that, even especially after last night, that I'm even entertaining the thought of how threatening could the Bengals be in the playoffs if they play the Chiefs. Because as you just said a couple of minutes ago, the road to get there is really long for Cincinnati. Is it impossible for them to get there? No, it's not impossible. They certainly can. But I don't even think that, like, I don't have any interest in even having a conversation about what Cincinnati could do in the playoffs right now.
like the counter to the Bengals' path right now is they haven't finished or won any games against good teams, and they play a lot of good teams down the stretch. That's why their road is long. That's why at plus 125, which is all the odds you can get on that bet, by the way, I'm not making that bet. The odds are long because they can't figure out a way to beat these good teams, and they play a lot of good teams down the stretch. The other problem for me is, though,
playoffs too, and they can't figure them out.
I really don't think that Indianapolis and Denver are legitimately good teams. I just don't. And so I'm leaving that alone basically for now. Here's somebody that's going, I'll bet, and this is a great caller to the show, Virgil. Virgil, we haven't heard from him from a long time on the IHOP hotline. Big Ravens fan. Maybe going to have an offense here to my claim that the Ravens have a really bad defense. Virgil, what's up, man? Been a long time. How are you?
Oh, doing pretty good. You're right. They got the worst defense I've ever seen the Ravens have, pass defense. And they're making some really average quarterbacks look good. So the really good quarterbacks are going to tear them up. But that being said, this is the best offense I've ever seen the Ravens have.
I'm historically, it might be the best ever. It's on that trajectory.
Yeah. I've crossed over to the dark side. I'm an offensive guy now. After 20 some years of relying on the defense, we finally have an offense. But I'm going to take one exception to something you said about Buffalo being better than us. I believe they played about a month ago and we beat them by 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's not what I meant to say. I said we can't definitively say they're ahead of Buffalo, but you're right. They did beat Buffalo head to head.
Yeah, not only beat him, that's the only quarterback that hadn't done anything against that defense was Josh Allen. It's crazy. You'd think he would tear him up, but it's just it's going to come down to matchups against the Ravens. Denver, bad matchup. They don't have a seasoned quarterback. They rely a lot on the run game, so that was going to be a tough game for Denver to have any success at. But if your strength isn't throwing the ball, you're not going to have a lot of luck against the Ravens. But if you've got any kind of weapons on the – like, Jamar Chase just kills us.
Yep.
I mean, fantasy-wise, he was in my starting lineup last night in two leagues, and he was also on a few prop bets, you know, because I know what's going to happen when that guy gets on the field against the Ravens. But you got to give Lamar his props. He's 9-1 against the Bengals.
Incredible.
9-1. Against arguably the second best team in the division.
He's kind of that way against every AFC team, Virgil. Like, it's the NFC where he has some struggles, but that's what he does against everyone. Lamar Jackson is criminally underrated.
Yeah, he doesn't struggle against the NFC. He's only lost one game ever to the NFC. He's 23-1 against the NFC. That's why we need to get to the Super Bowl.
Cool. Can I,
it's covering the number. You're right, Virgil. Yeah. It's covering the number that I'm thinking of.
Here's my thought, too, is that there are a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL that when they're down by 2 touchdowns in the second half, just pack it up and head home. Like, it's not going to happen. They're not going to be able to come back. And here comes Lamar, and they score 21 unanswered to take the lead and then ultimately pull it out.
Well, 2 or 3 years ago, that was the Ravens. If you got them down, you took them out of their run game, and they didn't have an answer. But this team has answers. I mean, I was a little nervous the way the game started last night, but I thought, you know, this offense will get rolling eventually. And I didn't really like the signing of Deontay Johnson just because I don't think he brings a whole lot to him. I mean, I was fine with the offensive weapons they have. I would like to got another defensive back. We'll see how Tre'Davious White does. He didn't play last night. Maybe he'll bring something to the defensive secondary. But I don't see a path where it's not Kansas City and Baltimore playing again. I know you like the Steelers. I will throw out one caveat about the Steelers. They're playing a last place schedule.
Yeah.
Which and their schedule gets a lot tougher now. They got to play the Ravens twice. They got to play the Bengals twice. I think
we'll learn about them Kansas for City. Sure. Like they'll play heads up. Virgil, it's really good to hear from you, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's good to hear from you. I don't get a chance to call in as much, but I'm always listening. So you guys do a great job. I appreciate you guys talking sports. It's awesome.
Thanks, Virgil. Lamar Jackson never gets enough credit, and I know he won the MVP. He gets enough credit within the league. I don't think he gets enough credit from the outside just to how good he is. I mean, they are putting together an offensive season.
They are.
That rivals any we have ever seen, ever.
They are.
And that's crazy. Here's what I would say to you, though, Tommy. Would you ha- have any concern had they given up that two-point conversion and lost that game last night?
No.
Big picture with them.
No, I wouldn't have.
Yeah.
I want to go back to something that you mentioned. I get the Denver argument, and Indianapolis for sure has flaws. But for a defense that I know you say is one of the worst in the NFL, they've got the fourth best rushing defense in the National Football League, the Ravens
yeah.
do. Right?
Which I said, by the way. I said they had one of the best run defenses.
You know, so, yeah, like overall, yeah, they give up a bunch of yards. You can carve them up through the air. Jamar Chase proved that last night. They've got the fourth best run defense in the National Football League. So it's just not their historic offensively and then really terrible. Like, they can't do anything. They can't stop anybody. They can't do anything defensively. They can stop the run. And, you know, especially in a game where teams want to slow down the pace of the game and keep the ball out of Lamar's hands, their rush defense should keep them from doing that.
Yeah, it's look, outside of Cincinnati this year, and I believe that's in Vegas, I guess, who hasn't played. No, Vegas has the same number of games played. No, they're one behind. So we'll call it the third or fourth most points allowed per game this year in the NFL. They're going to have to get that better because they are likely going to play two, if not three, great quarterbacks in the postseason. Whether it's, you know, Allen, who I know they had success against earlier in the year, but it's either Mahomes or it's Allen or maybe it's CJ Stroud. You know, when they get to that point, like, they're going to have to be better against the pass when push. And they made moves at the deadline. That's the other thing about the AFC right now. Every contending team made moves at the deadline. So what we see now is probably not going to be the same as what we see in week 14, 15, 16. Every team, every contending team made moves. It's wild. It's wild. Fun offense to watch. Fun game last night. Hope everybody made money last night. It was a great money-making game for all the parlays, same game parlays and all that. So hopefully you were able to capitalize on that. When we come back, we got to talk a little college hoops tonight. You kidding me with this game, KU? North Carolina, second game of the year? Bring it on. We'll preview it next on Sports Daily. All right, welcome back in, everybody. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up here on KFH with a cup of coffee each and every morning. And a reminder, Crestview Country Club, who supports the program, has a lot going on in November, including opportunities for Thanksgiving. If you're like me, don't have family in the area, you can head up there and have brunch, or you can get some Thanksgiving to go home with you and finish cooking it. It is something we've done for the last 3 years, and you can get in on that stuff without, you know, full memberships that include golf and everything else. You can get social memberships that have all that. Give Crestview a call, ask them about all that, tell them we sent you. We appreciate their support. Tommy, I'm struggling on Kansas-Carolina tonight. I'd like to bet it. The line right now is 7.5. The over-under is 160. My gut says take the under. If I had to take a line, I'd probably take Kansas, but I don't love it. And, man, I got to tell you, and it's early in the college basketball season, so we're not going to have a ton of them, but I don't like any of the player props either. At least the odds you can get on them. It really, as far as like offensive props, the only thing I'm really seeing are DeJuan Harris, Coit, and Dickinson. And the odds on what you might get them at are not good. Threes, Coit's the only opportunity. The odds you can get on those aren't good. So I don't have a lot of advice for people as far as betting. Good luck, I guess. If you want to put a little, the only thing I kind of like is the under this early in the season. But again, early in the season, sometimes the defenses are behind. So I really don't know. I will say that I like Kansas in the game at home for sure, but I got to be honest with you. Like, I don't know much about North Carolina and what they've done in the offs. Obviously, RJ Davis is still there, but other than that, it's kind of an unknown for me with that team.
I kind of like the over, actually. I'm going to disagree with you on that because, you know, I feel like with both of these teams, and we saw this with Kansas in their opener, and I know, again, it's Howard and you know, it's a different kind of opponent that they're playing tonight in North Carolina, but there's a clear path to points that Kansas has. Like, it's not like you're going to be searching for where is scoring going to come from with the Jayhawks. They have multiple weapons offensively to be able to score. And then same thing with Carolina. Like, they both – They both have a clear path to points, and it's R.J. Davis, you know, for sure with North Carolina. The other thing about both of these teams that, you know, this has kind of been a calling card for North Carolina in the last couple of years with R.J. Davis, but then also with Kansas and the way that, you know, they've got some of these scores is they both want to play fast. Like, I would imagine that you're going to see both of these teams up and down the floor pretty quickly. And if both of these teams, or even if just one of them scores, you know, with any kind of efficiency, then I think you're going to see a pretty high scoring game back and forth. It wouldn't surprise me one bit to see this game be 90-82 victory for Kansas or something like that.
What each of them, you know, scored.
Yeah,
in their
like I think that we'd probably be we'd be seeing something like that, you know, with both of these teams, because while, you know, for sure defense is absolutely essential for Bill Self, and I know for Hubert Davis as well, it's still, like you mentioned, early enough in the season that that sort of thing may take a few games to sort of lock in. I just think the hype is going to be there. The juice is going to be inside Allen Fieldhouse. I would expect a high-scoring game.
I think defense will matter more to Kansas by the end of the year. North Carolina scored 90 in their opener. So, yes, based on what they did in their openers, I'm not, like, screaming from the rooftops, hey, everybody, take the under by any means. The only thing that gives me some pause with a bet that puts essentially both teams into the 80s or the upper 70s, and this will be interesting to watch for Kansas, and probably the most interesting thing for me is how quickly can their defense be good? Because they do return Dickinson, Harris, and Adams. Three good defensive players, right? 60% of that starting lineup, there are good defensive players in our back. So how quickly, I would imagine that, you know, as we see Bill Self teams typically by the end of seasons become one of the best defensive teams in the country, this should be a year where Kansas can get to that a little quicker than normal because they brought so much back. What I don't know is how good of a defender Coit is, right? Can Rylan Griffin play that level of defense? Is Zeke Mayo going to be a problem defensively? I would imagine that none of those things are true, but Florey Badunga can be good defensively just because he's such an athlete. He'll probably be a foul problem early in the season. So we'll see. I think, like, for me, that's what I'm watching probably as much as anything else for Kansas early in the year, because we know the offense can run through Hunter Dickinson, right? There's no question about that. We know they want Coit and Mayo to shoot threes better than what they got last year. Like, we already know those things. So defensively, and I think this could really work to Kansas' advantage early in the year, I do think they could be ahead of schedule just because of what they brought back.
Yeah, I think that there are two things that I'm going to really be focused on in tonight's game. Number one is what kind of production can they get out of Hunter Dickinson? Because the one thing that North Carolina really struggled with in their opener against Elon was, number one, scoring in the paint. So they had a hard time with that. And then number two was rebounds. They basically played Elon to a draw on, you know, overall rebounds. And so if Dickinson, you're obviously stepping up the level of competition tonight. If North Carolina can't figure out a way to, number one, score in the paint, and number two, be able to be more effective in grabbing rebounds, then this is going to be a game that you would think Hunter Dickinson could potentially dominate on both ends of the court. Number two, the other thing I'm looking at is that it was kind of a little bit of a, I guess call it a surprise, if you will, you know, that you had David Coit starting the opener for the Jayhawks instead of Zeke Mayo or AJ Storr. And because that was not, I think, anything that was really in anybody's mindset going into the game. Again, it's going to be a step up in the level of competition tonight against North Carolina. I think this is a big litmus test for Coit to see if he can play against that level of competition, or if we'll eventually see either Mayo or Storr sort of work their way back into the starting lineup.
But, you know, don't you think Coit earned it through the exhibitions? Like, I am way surprised, because I really, like, until we saw some exhibition games, I was like, who's David Coit? I don't remember him and all. But I think he's earned it.
Well, I think it's a combination. I think that he earned it, but then I also think that, you know, especially like AJ Storr, Bill Self has been on the record multiple times talking about how, you know, Storr, he isn't quite sure how he fits into the system yet. And that was a prized transfer out of the portal.
Yep.
there's always at least one guy that is in Bill Self's doghouse at any given time. And right now it's AJ Storr. Doesn't mean that he'll always be in the doghouse. There are multiple examples of players that have worked their way back out and had a ton of success. But at least right now, you know, I think that Coit earned it, number one. But then I also think it was also due to, you know, maybe Mayo and Storr not really impressing Self all that much throughout the exhibition games.
Coit will be fun. One, he's got a great nickname, Diggy, that will be fun to follow. But look, this is one of the things that I love about the transfer portal. Love about the transfer portal is Coit didn't have the hype because he came from Northern Illinois. But we're going to, and we have, like the players that excel at that rung going up to the next level and finding success is going to be one of the best things that happens long term with the portal, because we'll see stars be made that we didn't know could be stars. And maybe Coit is that for this team. On paper, he does a lot of the things they desperately needed last year that they couldn't find. So, you know, fit wise, it could be that he just earns that spot and some of these other guys provide depth. I think another thing to watch tonight will be, you know, does the bench shrink up at all for Bill Self tonight? I think it probably will. And then what does that look like sort out the minutes?
I'm not sure that the bench can really shrink up any more than it already has. I mean, you know, we know that Elmarco Jackson is out for the year. We know that, you know, McDowell is redshirting. Shaquille Moore set out the opener with an injury. I don't know what his status is. It's that vaunted depth that we went into the season thinking about is still there, but it's not as deep as it maybe was a couple of weeks ago.
But with those three, and I know there's a big debate among KU fans on whether KJ Adams needs to be in the starting lineup and all that. I go back to the old Greg Marshall stuff. Doesn't really matter if you start or you don't start. How many minutes are you playing, right? Like, are they really, by the end of this thing, going to be running 10 deep, though? That's also not really probably self-like. Not. But so that's what I wonder. Like, how does that – because when we initially thought about all this, if Badunga is a key contributor, and clearly he looks like he might be, right, or probably should be, and then Coit is taking on a bigger role than we thought, there will be an interesting look at how that all shakes out if we assume Hunter Dickinson and DeJuan Harris are going to play as many minutes as they can play, as they always do. That leaves those three spots really with eight guys to fill them. And so I think it's also really interesting to see if they all are playing well. Maybe KU becomes this team that can just run at you so much because they have so many guys they can rotate in there. That's fantastic. That's also, we see that path work in college basketball, by the way, all the time. Teams that are super deep, that just keep that energy the whole time. Discrediting my under 160 tonight, by the way. But that could also be something that we see that we're not used to seeing with KU, partly because they haven't had, you know, that many guys as in last year, and partly because Bill Self, typically by the time some of his best teams get there, they do shrink it down to about eight guys that are in the rotation. But if you think that's going to happen this year, who are the odd men out? That becomes the interesting part, and I wonder what that's like in the locker room right now. Do those guys see it that way? And, you know, some of these players that have transferred in, are they nervous at all about potentially not getting a ton of minutes?
Look at AJ Storr. Look at AJ. I mean, like, he was vaunted as a guy that would come in and make an immediate impact in the starting lineup for KU. At least in the opener, he didn't. He wasn't in the starting lineup. And I don't know what tonight's will look like. I don't know moving forward, you know, what that will be. But that tends to happen. And I think that's perfectly okay. Like, I think that, you know, having that level of competition internally, it can only just raise everybody's game, or at least weed out the ones that aren't able to get it done. So I'm totally okay with that. I think that this team, because of the way that it's constructed, really outside of Dickinson, you know, I take that back, because Dickinson can move. There are so many pieces on this team that can get up and down the court. You know, especially with the shooters and the playmakers, one of the biggest things that the Jayhawks lacked a year ago outside of depth was a playmaker, a shot maker, somebody that could go and create offensively. They didn't really have that a whole lot last year. They were missing the guy on the team, like an Ochai Agbaji, who could just go out and create offense for himself.
Right.
And they've got several guys who conceivably can do that this season, which again would lead me to believe that they want to be on the offensive side of the court as much as they possibly can. I think they're going to get up and down. I think they're going to play fast. They've got the personnel to do it. They've got the depth to do it. I would imagine that's the way that tonight will pan out.
Yeah, you're talking me out of my 160 and already put it in.
Can you cash out? I think you probably ought to cash out.
Well, I still think my thought on it is still good, is that they'll be ahead of the nation defensively early in the year. They are going to be a really fun and fascinating team to watch early in this season. And for all the best reasons, if you're a KU fan, right? Because they have more than enough of what they lacked last year. Now, how do they sort it out?
Right.
Leave that to Bill Self. And he always gets it sorted out.
Can I give you one other bet that I really like tonight? If you are looking at maybe wanting to do some kind of, I don't know, college hoops parlay, Kansas on the money line, I would include them in a parlay because they're not losing at home. I know they're playing North Carolina.
But it's down at like minus 270.
Well, I get it, but if you build it into a parlay, if you've got several legs on that, they're not losing a game against North Carolina inside Allen Fieldhouse. It's not happening. So I would put that for sure in a parlay on the money line.
I don't have a problem with a -7.5, but I will fully 100% confess and admit that I don't know jack about North Carolina. So that is a totally biased take that I would not advise people to follow. Like, I don't know anything about. Yeah, I feel better about Kansas because I know a whole lot more about Kansas. 869-1240 is the IHOP hotline. On the way out, let's give away some HTO here. All you got to do to win a free iced tea and a free iced or hot coffee from HTO, any of the three metro locations here in Wichita, is text the keyword T, TEA to the short code 20357. That's T to 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one. Coming up in hour number two, we got picks. Lots of them to make. The full gang's in. We'll be back. Don't go away. More Sports Daily right after this. Back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH, and we are glad to be with you on this Friday edition. KFH, your home for K-State Athletics on the radio. You can tune in tonight, 7 o'clock, for Wildcat Talk on the Jerome Tang Coaches Show. Download the free Odyssey app, search for KFH. Tonight, Tommy, my plans have changed on a Friday night. They're calling in the old guy for some high school football coverage.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I know that we had kind of talked a little bit about what tonight looked like, because I'm kid free. I might go watch the basketball game somewhere. My wife and so. Tell me what your high school football coverage is going to look like first. Then I'll tell you my.
I'm going to go do whatever they tell me to.
Okay.
So I'll be in there. I think
with you don't Brandon. Have to go to a game. Like you don't have to go and like cover a game or anything.
They're calling me. TJ is out of town. Is going to be out of town. We'll have his picks.
Okay.
He won't be here for him. So it's the playoffs. I needed a little help. We've had all these scheduling changes. So the staff has been, you know, running out on a Thursday instead of a Friday doing all this. So I'm going to go in and see if I can remember what I did for 20 years before this year.
You're kind of like the Mariano Rivera getting called out of retirement. Like they're going to the bullpen. They're like, hey, we need the closer to come in now.
They're the Chiefs wide receiver room. They're down to like the fifth stringer.
And you're DeAndre Hopkins basically for tonight.
Well, maybe we'll see if I'm DeAndre Hopkins or Sky Moore, I guess.
There you go.
But yeah, we'll be in there. So that'll be fun. Catch Kansas. I'll have you all covered.
Yeah.
But the biggest challenge will be I have not spent a season with a lot of these kids' names. So let me tell you right now that I apologize. If I get a name wrong tonight,
I was hoping that, you know, because I know we're going to talk some high school football in hour number two. I know TJ is not going to be with us. So I was hoping that you had just absorbed all the knowledge that he has and you were going to be able to, you know, really provide some good insight.
I didn't. This is the first year, and I'm not, it's the first year. It's not quite 20 years, but it's like 18 or 19 that I have not been covering high school football on a Friday.
Yeah.
It's been that long. Even when I was here and I stepped away from sports and went exclusively news, when that happened for like a year and a half, 2 years, I was still doing high school football with them. So like, it's been strange this year to not do that on a Friday night. I haven't had Friday nights in the fall in forever.
I mean, look at how just versatile you are. You're on the big board for the presidential election.
Right.
On Tuesday, then you're doing high school football on a Friday. Pretty soon you're going to be doing like a cooking segment on the morning
show.
Yeah,
everyone, they always joke with me like, well, when are you going to do the weather? And I'm right. Do I strike you as a scientist? I'm not just some pretty face out in L.A. that does the weather looking good. Like, you actually kind of have to, you know, be well-versed in that stuff. I could have told you today that it was going to rain, though.
Well, there you go.
As it is.
Can I tell you real quick? So tonight, my wife and my sons have a mother-son Nerf gun battle at our church, which sounds incredible. And I'm jealous that it's only mother-son because I would love to do a Nerf gun battle with my boys. But I'm like wife and kid free tonight. So I may go to a bar and watch the KU game and drink a beer, maybe eat some wings. I may just be by myself, and that's okay. I'm good with that, although I wish I was doing a Nerf gun fight.
And I still owe you a beer. It would have been a good opportunity to pay up. But I think that we got like birthday parties even before I have to go into work. But it's life with kids. I love it. I love it. And it's going to be gone. And I'll be real sad. Quick side note. When we come back, we're going to make some football picks. We got 3 college games, 3 NFL games. Jad's got some receipts that apparently we do not want to hear about. But we will anyway as we get you ready for a football weekend. We've got Brandon Zinner, Paul Savage joining us. It is Sports Daily. It's a Friday. TGIF, everyone. We'll be right back.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, sports bettors, ready for some picks destined to fail? It's time to hear what the Sports Daily staff thinks of the weekend games.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We got Paul Savage in. We'll get Brandon in a little bit. TJ not going to join us today, but we do have his picks. So we'll get those in for him. We got the full gang here, but Jad has some bad news apparently for all of us. Jad, what have you been so scared, or should I say eager, to tell us about?
Well, it's not scared. I have no problems telling you guys how bad you did last week. It's actually making me kind of happy. Jacob?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That says a lot about our friendship, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It means it's a good friendship.
Well, Jacob, you won the week, so congratulations.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, you won the week by breaking even, 3-3.
That's fine with me.
Yeah.
Win's a win, baby.
Yeah, so that's how you won the week. You went 3-3, and that works out for you, but pretty much everyone else just did terribly. So, Tommy, 0-6.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, congratulations. No
one. Wow, we thought that was history the last time we saw it.
Well, okay. In my defense, that was
some habitual.
In my defense, that was 0-10 last year. We picked 10 games back then. 0-6 is a little bit easier to accomplish, and I was 6-0.
Anybody can go 0-6.
I was 6-0 a couple of weeks ago, so I just canceled it out. It's okay.
Yeah. Now, Paul, you went 1-5. So you didn't do a whole lot better. So your lead comes down just a little bit. TJ also 1-5. Brandon, second place of the week, 2-4. Congratulations.
2-4, second place. How pathetic are we? We are.
I told you
so...
I was bringing you down with me, Paul, and I surpassed you.
There you go.
There we go. All right. Well, Jad hit it. Let's make our picks here today. We got 3 college and 3 NFL. And we are going to get right to it. And we're going to start with perhaps the game of the week in college football. Georgia at Ole Miss. Ole Miss getting, this is a theme here today, especially in college. Ole Miss getting 3 points at home. I won the week last week, so I will go first. And I will take Georgia. I like Ole Miss. I really hope Ole Miss wins this game. I'd love to see them win this game. Georgia's one of those teams where, yeah, maybe they fall, stumble once. I think Georgia's pretty good here. I like this bet quite a bit in reality. I'll lay the points on the road. I'll take Georgia. Brandon, what do you think?
Well, the notes that I took on my napkin at my local coffee shop this morning tell me that Lane Kiffin at home with how bad Carson Beck has played of late. I like Ole Miss with the points at home. I think this is one that we're going to see it go under the total. And that just means that I have more opportunities for a cover. Give me Ole Miss plus three.
Tommy?
I'm kind of with you, Jacob. I mean, I'm a believer in Georgia, and it's not a knock on Ole Miss. I like what Lane Kiffin has done. There's no doubt about it. But I don't think that Georgia is getting the kind of attention and respect that they deserve for a team that has been national champions. And so I'm going to roll with Kirby Smart in this game as the favorites. It's not a big enough spread for me to want to take points in this matchup against Georgia. So I'm with you. I'm going to take the Bulldogs and lay the points.
TJ is also taking Ole Miss and those points. Paul, what do you think?
Well, you know something, I look at Ole Miss and I think to myself, there's not very many more teams in all of the NCAA, guys, that runs better at receiver. Would you guys agree with that? They might be as good, as fast as anybody in the entire college football world today. But on the other hand, George is an awful physical football team. We've watched him, and we've watched him earlier in the year. They're so physical up front. And when it comes down to fast versus physical, fast is good. And I take fast under certain circumstances, but when a team is so physical as Georgia, how can you not take Georgia? Fellas, I'm taking Georgia.
All right, so it's 3-2. That one a pretty even split. Now another one in the same kickoff window. Iowa State at Kansas plus three. That's right. It's just 3 points. Kansas getting 3 points at home, Tommy. You buying any of this for KU coming out of a bye week?
I typically wouldn't at all, but I mean, Iowa State really was disappointing a week ago. They had an opportunity to really, you know, outside of BYU, be the dominant team in the Big 12 and to create even more separation. I know Colorado is right there too, but that was their chance, and they weren't able to capitalize on that. That's why I think this line is where it is. I'm not a big believer in KU because of the way this season has gone for them, but they can play spoiler. They can continue to, you know, beat on the Cyclones while they're down. Give me Kansas. I'm going to take the points. It's probably not going to turn out that way, but I kind of like the points in this game.
Paul, what do you think here? Iowa State coming off the loss, KU coming off the bye. You 3 points. I know on the surface, people probably, you know, perk their ears at that. Are you taking Iowa State, or do you like the Jayhawks?
Does Iowa State still have something to play for, fellas?
Of course they do.
They do. It's obvious to me. You know, sometimes this kind of beats a team down. You know, a loss like that beats a team down. But I don't think it beats this team down. I'm taking Iowa State.
Brandon, what do you think on this one? It's one of the more curious lines of the week to me, but where are you at with it?
I've picked Kansas a lot this year, and that has not paid off by their record and by my record. I like Iowa State, the ability to bounce back in their last 7 road games. They are 7-0 straight up and against the spread. And I don't even know how much of a road game this is going to be. I mean, Iowa State fans travel with that Arrowhead. It's probably going to be 15,000 KU fans there. There's going to be maybe even more for Iowa State, given the Cyclones. And
so I think I just have some thing against Iowa State. I don't know what it is or why it is. I was really eager and excited to get like a big old fat money line opportunity with KU this weekend. I've liked KU in this game for a while, quite honestly. 3 points. I really wish it was more. I thought it would be more, but I was going to take them on the money line anyway. I think they can beat Iowa State. I've been looking at this one for 3 weeks, basically since Jalen Daniels started playing better. I like KU in this game. I'm going to take the 3 points. I'll take the Jayhawks, and TJ will too. Okay. Isn't that interesting?
That is. I did not see this coming.
More people are taking KU in that game. I didn't see that coming either. All right, let's go Bama at LSU. LSU plus three. I think there's this narrative that LSU's not that good this year. Their record says they're pretty good. Brandon, do you think they can win at home or at least cover the spread against Bama?
Interesting spot, because I think Bama is coming off a bye, if I'm right. But under Brian Kelly at home at night, LSU 13-0. I like their ability to get it done this week. I think it might be a lower scoring one again. Give me LSU in the points.
Tommy, what do you think here?
Oh, man. You know, I think that some of the deciding factors on this will be the fact that Alabama is coming off of a bye. But Alabama's been so up and down where, you know, on the one hand, they had a couple of really huge marquee wins. But then there were a couple games, too, that just they kind of laid an egg. And so it's up and down. Kalen DeBoer, I think, will be a lot more consistent as he continues on as the Alabama head coach. But even though they're coming off a bye, I think I'm going to agree with Brandon and jump on the LSU train.
It's interesting. This is not Nick Saban, right? This is Kalen DeBoer. And I think sometimes with Bama, we forget that. You know, it's still fresh. I agree with you guys. I think LSU is, for some reason, like people just think they're not having a good year, but they're having a pretty good year. And things are out there in front of them. And they're at home in that spot in prime time with points against an F, you know, by Alabama standards, they're flawed. So I'll take LSU too. TJ's going to take Bama. Paul, are you going to give TJ that island, or are you going to take LSU with the rest, or are you going to join him with Bama?
Dang! Listen, is Bama interested in being in the playoffs? Can they still be in the playoffs?
Well, yeah, they're right.
The answer is
so,
yes.
So can LSU, by the way.
So do you have something to play for? The answer again is yes.
If both teams do.
Yeah, but yeah. LSU.
LSU wants to make the playoffs, too.
Well, I get that. But the point that I'm making is that Bama's been there. Bama's got a statement to make.
So is LSU. I mean, they've both been there.
Oh, my gosh. I can't seem to get my point over, can I? Evidently, they're not very good points. But my point is that Alabama, I think because of the changing of the head coaches, they really have something to play for. I think it's just one of those deals where I think, and I never know just exactly how LSU is going to play. They can play sloppy. Now, they win a lot of games. They play sloppy and uninspired. But I'm taking Bama. I think for the college games, that might be the easiest game to pick, Bama over LSU. Although it is at home, and that scares me. Playing it in LSU at night is a tough, tough deal.
Yeah, it's you know, the family and all of that.
That's right.
It's a tough spot for both. I think both of these teams are wildly unpredictable. I disagree. I think it might be the hardest game to pick this week. All right, let's go to Pittsburgh at Washington. As we move on to the NFL, some of my favorite games of the week. Two teams, I think, with the arrows pointed way up. Two teams that are very different in the way they go about things. I think it's my turn to go first. I'll take Pittsburgh. Tommy knows, and you guys might know, I'm pretty high on the Steelers. I think this is a great opportunity for them to do something, and they're getting points. It's not a lot of points, but it's 2.5 points. I think they're going to win the game anyway, so I'll take the Steelers and feel pretty happy about it. Tommy?
I knew that you were going to pick the Steelers, and that's sure. Okay. I understand why. I will concede that this will be the best defense that Jaden Daniels has faced so far in his young career in the NFL. And I think that defensively, Mike Tomlin will absolutely throw some curveballs at Jaden Daniels. It's the biggest test for him, but it's also the biggest opportunity to show that he has arrived. I think that the Commanders have been one of, if not the most exciting team in the NFL. They are on a collision course with the division title in the NFC East. Because of that, and knowing that the number is under a field goal, I'm going to go with the Commanders at home. I'm going to lay the 2.5. I think that even though the Steelers will provide a big test for Jaden Daniels, I think the Commanders will win at home by at least a field goal.
Mr. Savage,
yes.
Where do you stand with this one?
Well, this is an interesting game, and when I decide to take Pittsburgh, a lot of it will be because, you know, of Coach Tomlin. Let's just face it, he's really, if not the best, one of the best coaches in the NFL, and he always gets the job done. Daniels is still a kid, still a boy, still young, still wet behind the ears. He's still very naive when it comes to NFL football. He's going to get there, and I make the prediction he might end up being one of the best quarterbacks we've seen in a generation, and I think that's a real possibility, but that's not it right now. You're going to get, when you have a young quarterback like this, guys, what do? You get pass rush on it. You design some blitzes, you do some stunts, you do some things up front to get pressure on the quarterback, flush him out, get him running, get him to throw on the run, although he throws well on the run, but you get him out of the pocket, and then you chase him down and tackle him. That's what you do. I think this is going to be a situation where Pittsburgh is so smart, so wise, they know what they're doing, that they will be able to do things to this young quarterback that he hasn't really seen a lot, and I'm predicting Pittsburgh wins by 10.
I don't think Lattimore will be a factor in this game. They certainly need him. TJ's taking Washington. It's interesting, Brandon, with Washington. If you remember how they beat Chicago, and I don't want to call it lucky, but I'll call it lucky. Their best win of the year is the Bengals right now. They've beaten up on a lot of bad teams. And so this is their biggest test of the year. Like, this is it for them. This is really that test. Do you think they step up, or do you think the Steelers are too much? I think we got you muted there, Brandon.
Yeah, looks like we don't have him.
Yeah, we've got your video there, Brandon. I don't know. We'll try it again there. Try again, Brandon. Nope, we don't have Brandon. Brandon can reconnect here, or we'll try to figure that out. I'm not sure why that happened. But anywho, we'll get Brandon's pick. Brandon, blink once if you're picking Pittsburgh, twice if you're picking it. Washington.
Adjust that
Pittsburgh. Away. He takes okay. the Steelers. Pittsburgh. He takes the Steelers. Okay. Good. We got the Steelers for Brandon. So we've got.
Oh, I think we got
there
him.
There we go. Now we got you. Now we got you.
I don't know what's going on. Yeah, Jacob, you read my notes. They beat the Bengals, the Cardinals, the Browns, the Panthers, the Bears, and the Giants twice this year. Pittsburgh coming off of a bye. I really like Pittsburgh in this spot. Probably outright. Give me the Steelers.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to money line it, if not tease it up. I may lay some points with Pittsburgh to try and get some better odds. I think this is a really tough spot for Daniels, and I cannot wait to see him and how he responds to it. He is such a fun young player. All right, let's go on then to the Chiefs and the Broncos. The Chiefs, 7.5-point favorites at home. Tommy, I believe you're up first. What do you like with this one?
Man, this one is tough because I've picked the Chiefs each of the last 2 weeks. They haven't covered the number the last 2 weeks. And of course, last week was a really big spread that they weren't able to cover. And so they started off the year really good covering, haven't done it in the last couple of weeks. Denver, we talked a lot this week about what happened against Baltimore a week ago when on paper they had the same record and looked like it was going to be a good matchup and they just got thumped by the Ravens. Is it going to be that kind of a deficit for Denver this week against Kansas City inside Arrowhead? Probably not, but I still think that it could be a fairly large deficit. So even though the Chiefs haven't covered in the last couple of weeks, I'm going to give it another shot. I'm going to lay the 7.5 for Kansas City. I think they can win by 2 touchdowns. It's not going to be a blowout like the Baltimore game was a week ago because I like Denver's defense against what Kansas City can do, but I just think that the Chiefs will overpower them. So I'm going to take Kansas City and I'll lay the 7.5.
This is turning into one of my favorite bets of the week. I actually really like Kansas City in this game. I think that they can run the ball on Denver if that's what they choose to do. Sertan is an absolute weapon and a problem, but he can't guard Kelce and Hopkins. And again, we've pointed this out, it's a Worthy game. I feel like Worthy's going to make a big play or two in this game. I just think it's a really good matchup for Kansas City. So I've got no problem with 7.5. I wish it was 7. I wish it was 6.5, but it's 7.5, but I'm still good with it. Brandon, what do you think?
I'm here. The Chiefs coming off of Monday Night Football, a little bit of a shorter week, a noon game, something we haven't seen out of the Chiefs all season long. I think I'm just taking Denver with a backdoor potential here. Nothing else. Maybe I get a late touchdown. Maybe I get a late field goal. Give me Denver +7.5.
Paul, the other reason for me is, what does Bo Nix do against a really good defense
right.
in Kansas City? He has flashed in a couple of games this year. They've been against bad teams. Gets good teams. He struggled a little bit, as rookies do. Do you think Denver covers that number? More than a touchdown.
Yeah, let me answer that question. In a couple of years, yes. The answer would be yes. I think he handles that. Once he gets some experience, gets some time in the league, understands the players in the league, the answer would be yes to that question. Aha! But that's not now. Now he's a rookie. Now he's still learning. He doesn't have it down yet. He doesn't know everything he needs to know about how to be successful in the NFL. So with the answer being no, I also am going to take the Kansas City Chiefs. And I kind of appreciate Brandon taking Denver. Because let me tell you this. If he hadn't and there was an island left to take, I would have taken Denver. But since
there's Brandon, no island. TJ's also taken
Denver. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay,
so
gotcha.
No island there.
I got you. All right.
Brandon, we're not picking the Vikings. I hope you got them before the Trevor Lawrence news, because I think I got them somewhere at like 4 points against the Jaguars. But that's not the game we're picking. We're picking Detroit, and Houston. The Houston Texans, if I told you this at the beginning of the year, you'd have called me crazy. Houston Texans are getting a 3.5 point spread. They're getting 3.5 at home against the Lions, who've been, of course, beating everybody by 1,000 points. Brandon, what do you think here?
I think just Detroit is the most impressive team that we've seen in the league this year. I mean, just how they can attack you multiple ways. And Houston has the worst pass defense in the NFL. They give up the most passing touchdowns, 2.1 per game. And I think Jared Goff is going to be able to feast on that. I think it's going to be a big, big Jahmyr Gibbs game. And I wouldn't be surprised if I was on the Lions last week in Lambeau. We saw what happened there. I think they could go in and make another statement on that turf down there. This is a fast, fast team. I like the Lions, and I think it's going to be big this weekend. Give me the Detroit.
TJ also taking Detroit. Paul, I'm going to put some words in your mouth. You tell me how far off I am. Here's Paul's pick. Have the Detroit Lions been on Hard Knocks?
Have the
Houston Texans been on Hard Knocks?
That's horrible. I can't believe you did that to me.
It's the truth, though.
But the Lions have been on Hard Knocks, and I've really enjoyed their episodes on Hard Knocks. I'm taking Detroit.
I knew it. Tommy, what do you think here? Let me do this, because I know you love the Texans. I'm going to take Detroit, as much as I don't want to lay those points on the road. I'm going to take Detroit because I just think Houston right now, I think they may be getting Nico Collins back.
It is up in the air. They have not designated him to return from injured reserve as of now. It's going to be a question of if he practices in any capacity today. He didn't on Wednesday or Thursday. If he doesn't practice today, it's probably unlikely.
I love the arrow of the Texans in general. I think by the end of this season, they'll be back to what we thought they were. I don't think it's this week. I'm going to take the Lions because I'm sick of guessing it when this wears off. It doesn't look like it will. So I'm going to give you the opportunity, Tommy, for your Texans on an island here.
Well, I mean, the Texans desperately need Nico Collins back. And I'm with you. I generally love the Texans. And C.J. Stroud has had a little bit of a drop-off statistically in his sophomore season, but that's due in large part to Nico Collins and Steph Diggs, you know, basically losing them. They desperately need Nico back. Tank Dell is fine, but he's basically been it. And I was disappointed that the Texans couldn't go out and acquire another wide receiver at the deadline because I thought they really needed to do that. On the flip side, the Lions went out and acquired Za'Darius Smith, and I think that because of that, they are all in for sure, and that's going to allow them to really limit what Joe Mixon can do. And Mixon has been the key contributor offensively for the Texans recently. Had the Lions not went out and got Smith, it would have been a lot easier for me to take that island. I don't think I can. I think I'm going to make it a clean sweep. As much as I like Houston, yeah. I'm going to make it a clean sweep and say Detroit.
All right. Well, you saw Hard Knocks, didn't you?
I did not watch Hard Knocks. No.
I'm surprised, honestly, that it's only 3.5 points.
Yeah.
The way both teams have, and maybe if Nico Collins doesn't play, it gets wider. But I put that in there because I thought it was an interesting, and it's two teams that, you know, look really good and are going to be in the postseason. That's it, fellas. That's six games.
Let's do it.
That is six games in the books. Brandon, I'll see you later tonight. Calling in I said I'm like the Chiefs wide receiver room. You're down to the fifth string, and I'll be there with you. We'll talk some high school football tonight.
Yeah, try another big week two of high school football playoffs. We'll be on the Catch and Show, 10:35 on the CW. Myself and Jacob Albrock. So
all right. Kicking it old school.
Yeah. So let's do it. I'll see you then.
Don't forget that big victory by the East High Aces last night.
That's
now,
very true.
Brandon, come on, you got to get that mentioned.
Take that chance right now, because that's I was going to give you that chance. East High over Dodge. That's it. And you guys came back to win that game.
Came back. 10 seconds left on the clock. A 36-yard pass into the end zone. Score on the last play. Well, the next to the last play of the game to win the game. It was a heck of a hard-fought game in a driving rainstorm. I thought we went out there to avoid the rain. Instead, we went out there to get soaked by the rain.
And word on the street is that was a play design written up by Paul Savage.
I wish I was that smart.
Hey, Brandon, I want to throw something out at you. So Jacob referenced again that it's like the Chiefs wide receiver room, and he's getting called in to help out, you know, the receiving core. Does that make him DeAndre Hopkins in your mind?
I
the old guy coming in to rescue the young guys.
Travis Kelce. I just show up every single week. If he wants to be, maybe it's a Justin Ross week.
I'll try to not be Sky Moore. That's the promise I'll make to the listeners and the viewers out there. I'll just do my best to not be Sky Moore. So there it is. We'll see you at football tonight. CatchItKansas.com. Catch It Kansas app. We'll have it all covered. It is the playoffs. It's the second week of the playoffs. We'll take the rain and all the chaos it's brought because we need the rain. But Brandon will talk later. And we'll see everybody with Brandon later tonight on the KSCW at 10:35. All right, let's take a quick break here. Paul, you stick around. We're going to talk a little bit more about everything else going on. We can revisit Thursday Night Football. We talked about KU. We have scratched the surface with Chiefs Broncos. We can certainly get more into that. But a lot to cover here in our final segments of Sports Daily. Don't go away. We're coming right back.
Just because it's 4 o'clock.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We are glad to be here with you on this Friday edition. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster, Paul Savage sticking around here for us in hour number two. We got through Thursday Night Football. Lamar Jackson is incredible. I think this is going to be a really interesting MVP race this year because of, I think, maybe a little more. We've got some quarterbacks separating themselves. Lamar Jackson, leader in the clubhouse, I think is fair. Jared Goff and what he's doing is certainly in the mix. Derrick Henry has fallen a little bit down. His pace has settled in a little bit. Joe Burrow won't have enough wins, but his numbers are going to be incredible. But the guy that's not being mentioned in the MVP conversation that I think will be there by the time this season clears is Patrick Mahomes.
What's going on?
Patrick Mahomes. But Mahomes is hit the last few weeks now with D-Hop and what you saw there and knowing that they're getting a little healthier and Pacheco's going to be back and all of these things and Kelsey's. I think there's a real fine chance that Mahomes is going to climb into that conversation. Right now, we could say that the Chiefs have the unbeaten thing happening, which should probably be elevating him in the conversation at least a little bit. But Tommy, are we sleeping on Mahomes at all this year because of the start they got off to?
Well, I think it's going to depend, honestly, upon the way the next several games pan out, obviously. I mean, I know that's a really obvious answer, but his touchdown to interception ratio is not great, and I think that's going to ultimately hurt him. He's thrown 9 interceptions through the first 8 games, but the last 2 games, it's really he's really kind of turned that around because he's gone 5 touchdowns, 1 pick, and that's really helped things out and get it back, you know, to where it needs to be, 11 TDs, 9 interceptions. He's got to limit the turnovers in the remaining games. He's not throwing for a ton of yards this year. He's only thrown for over 300 yards in 1 game so far this season, and that was the Monday night game against the Saints where he didn't have a touchdown thrown, by the way. So I think that that's going to be part of it. However, he does have a higher completion percentage than he has had in any season in his career so far, at almost 70%. So I think that will play into it as well. The lowest quarterback rating, though, as of right now. So he's got to, you know, limit the turnovers, turn things around a little bit more. And sure, I think that he's not out of the question, but it's going to come down to, do a couple of these other guys drop off a little bit? And is he able to really limit those turnovers?
He is nowhere, Paul, near the top of the list by quarterback rating, like not even close. And he's still, I just checked, he's still the third odds on favorite to win it. But Mahomes, you never get Mahomes at 5-1. I think for me, it's more about, And it will take a couple. It'll take Lamar Jackson coming back down to earth, because if he keeps this going, nobody's going to touch him. But I do think, like, we're only halfway through this. We're not even halfway through the season, right? We're only 8-0 here. There's still 9 games for Mahomes, who looks more comfortable throwing the ball, who may get some big play, you know, increases in his stats just either by Hopkins being there or Worthy, you know, stepping more into that role. I just think there's enough room still with less than half the games being played for the stats to get padded. If they keep winning these games and we look back at all the great teams they have beaten already and could beat this year, it's going to be hard to at least not make the case. But again, it does take, don't you think, Paul, Lamar Jackson coming back down to earth? Because right now, with what Lamar Jackson's doing, like, nobody's catching Lamar Jackson.
Right.
His touchdown to interception ratio is one of the stupidest things we've ever seen. 24-2?
Mm-hmm.
24-2?
Mm-hmm.
And he runs, and his completion percentage is the same, and he's got, you know, 700 more yards. He's played another game than Mahomes, but like, it'll take him coming down. But Mahomes at 5-1 ain't a bad bet.
Define MVP for me, because here's my question. Is it MVP in accordance with all the other great players in the league, or is it to that player that means the most to their team? Or is it, there's a lot of things. And the problem with Lamar Jackson is they lost games that, quite frankly, I shake my head and I think to myself, how did they actually lose that game? They've lost some games they shouldn't have. And then I look at the Ravens and I think to myself, well, they got a running back that's changed this team dramatically. I mean, Derrick Henry has made a huge difference. So the word MVPs, or the word strung together MVP, I look at that and I think to myself, but there's not a player that is more valuable to their team than Patrick Mahomes. Because right now, the Ravens have somebody else that they can count on, and that's Derrick Henry. I'm not so sure that the Chiefs have that. This is basically a Patrick Mahomes team, unless you want to count Kelsey. But, I mean, you know, he's having a so-so year. So I guess I have to ask you guys, how do you define MVP?
Well, I would say this. Lamar Jackson in the three losses was really good to great in all three of the losses. He's not the reason they lost any of those games. Their defense is. I would also really need to think about the question, Tommy, that Paul, and it's the question most people ask with MVP, if you took that player away. Because I would tell you this about the Chiefs. You have a much better defense than the Ravens. They have a very effective ground game. They have Kelsey. They have, you know, the great offensive mind of his generation. I don't know that that's an easy question to answer. If you took that player away, which team would be more okay? I think the Chiefs' surrounding cast outside, I mean, Derrick Henry's there, but all in total, when you consider the defense, I think the Chiefs would maybe have a better chance to win if Mahomes had to miss a game. I that's a hard question. I don't know. I'd really have to think about that.
Well, I mean, and I think you also have to, if you're going to open that door, then you also have to look at who are the guys behind the starting quarterbacks. And
sure,
you're talking about Carson Wentz for the Chiefs, and then you're talking about Josh Johnson for the Ravens. I think Carson Wentz has a leg up for sure. So, I mean, I think that will obviously play a role in that too. And, you know, Josh Johnson has been around forever. And so I don't know. I mean, I think that you would give the nod to Kansas City just based on who would be filling in for either one of those guys if they were out. But it's interesting because the Chiefs have, and they have rebuilt their offensive weapons with guys like Kareem Hunt and DeAndre Hopkins. They've been able to make it work, and they're going to continue, I think, to get better offensively, especially with the return of Isaiah Pacheco, probably in the next couple of weeks or so. So I think that offense is clearly continuing to improve, while Baltimore's is there. Like, Baltimore's will absolutely come up and punch you in the face right away. That's what they've done all year. It's been their calling card. But that's also due in large part to Lamar Jackson. I don't think that you can discount the impact of Derrick Henry. I mean, Derrick Henry has added a new wrinkle to that offense they didn't have before. But the straw that stirs the drink is Lamar Jackson. It is his offense. It is his team. And if you watched the game last night, I mean, it was him basically saying, I'm not going to let this team lose. We're down by two scores. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to make it work. And the offensive line wasn't very good last night for Baltimore either. And he's hurt. Yeah. So, like, all those things in place, to me, it reminds me of Patrick Mahomes and the sheer will to lead his team to victory. That's what Lamar Jackson has done.
Words out of my mouth. That is the thing he's developed, I think, in the last 3 or 4 years that people wondered about early on. Is like, yes, he flashes, but whatever that thing is, you know, that Brady had, that Mahomes clearly has, does he have that? And I think the answer is, yeah, I think he does now, because it is his will. Last night felt like a classic Chiefs game where if you're the opposition, you just shake your head at, like, how did we lose that game? And you just look over and you're like, oh, because Patrick Mahomes is there, right? That's the part of Lamar's game that is just exploding in the last couple of years, the Ravens, Paul, would have been able to run the ball. I mean, the Ravens have always run the ball, even before they had Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry's icing on that cake. Derrick Henry helps them in the postseason, I think, as much as anything else. But it's not like the Ravens had a bad running game before he got there. They've always been able to run the ball.
Yeah, well.
I am so blown away by the player Lamar Jackson has become, and I love it so much because of him negotiating that contract, the perception around that, couldn't find a team to take him. Like, he never has to outright say it himself, but the middle finger to the rest of the league for doubting him, you love it. You just love it. And he is so impressive and fun to watch.
Did you catch, by the way, and I know that, sorry to step
No problem.
Did you catch the moment in the game last night when Ja'Marr Chase was kind of dancing his way to, you know, cross the goal line on one of those touchdown catches where it was, you know, late in the game. I think it was late in the game, I believe, in the fourth quarter.
Oh, maybe it wasn't.
And he was like just standing, you know, inside the 1 yard line, wouldn't like cross into the goal line. Finally did. He took like 10 seconds off the clock just standing there before he would go, you know, get a touchdown. Then the camera cuts to Lamar on the sideline and he's pissed. Like, you, and I don't know if it was because of that necessarily, but that's at least, you know, the vibe that I got from it. And then it's like, man, that was probably a mistake. In the same way that you don't want to do that to Mahomes, because Mahomes will make you pay for it. Lamar picked up on that, and here come the Ravens.
Lamar was probably also mad that they gave up another bomb to Ja'Marr Chase.
100%.
But he is getting that, and that's what – I don't think he lacked it before, but there is a point in this league with quarterbacks, Paul, that it feels like they hit that next level, and very few of them do it. And then it's like chess versus checkers, right? And you know, we know the guys that have it. Mahomes obviously has it. Josh Allen has had it. I think Burrow has had it. I don't want to forget anybody here that has that. Aaron Rodgers certainly had that at a younger age of quarterbacks that are still in the league. Lamar Jackson has that now, where it looks like whatever that final step is to, you know, to reach that upper echelon tier, he's there this year. I mean, it's just, these numbers are stupid. These numbers are ridiculous. It's like some of the best Mahomes passing seasons plus a Lamar Jackson running season, all combined into one.
You use the word chess. That's a good word, because the great chess masters of the world, what are they? They know what's going to go on 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 steps ahead, don't they? That's how a great chess master works. That's the way the great ones like a Patrick Mahomes operates. That's like, go back over the course of history and just look at some of the great quarterbacks, the Farbs of the world, the Bradys of the world. You know, look at some of those guys, and even go back even further if you want to go. You know, the Unitases of the world, the Stars of the world. They weren't even the great quarterbacks of today, but boy, could they read a chessboard, and they knew it was coming. They knew. In other words, the days of taking Patrick Mahomes and say, well, we're going to line up and cover 3, and then we're going to drop a safety and go to cover 2 or whatever. You know, those days are really kind of over, because for those guys, because they see it, they know it's coming, they know they feel it, and it's so hard to hide it from them. That's what makes them chess masters and not just a regular checkers player.
He's there. One of my favorite players, and I'm happy that he's able to do this now. And he's always been able to do it, but it does feel like he's in a different world this year. Let's come back. Let's talk about the Chiefs Broncos. What do we think stylistically? What bets do we like in this game? Let's go to that when we return. Chiefs Broncos, that's next on Sports Daily. Don't go away. All right, welcome back, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. Glad to be with you. Jake Ballbrock, Tommy Caster, Paul Savage, Chad Chambers producing for us. The IHOP hotline is back open. You can celebrate the weekdays with new IHOP House faves, all your favorites for just $6 Monday through Friday. That number is 869-1240. Let's talk a little Chiefs Broncos here, fellas. You know, looking at this game, the only reservation I have in this game is the short week and the early kick. That's it. But it's at home. And I got to tell you, Tommy, like I think this is a, I don't want to call it a smash spot for the Chiefs, but I think they have a pretty good chance to beat Denver handily. I'll tell you what I like in the game. I love Xavier Worthy over 31.5 receiving yards. Love it. I love Kareem Hunt over his 71.5 rushing yards. The other ones that I like are putting Denver's team total under like 18.5 and teasing up the Chiefs to lay 9.5. That gets you 5-1 right now at BetMGM. I like that bet. I'll probably make that bet. The other one that is in there is if you put a worthy touchdown with it, it goes up to like 11-1. So I may kind of, they call it ladder bets. I may ladder a worthy touchdown in on a separate bet. I think there are some clear things, and I think this is an absolutely dreadful matchup for Denver. What did the Chiefs struggle with, Tommy? Tight end defense?
Yeah.
Broncos basically don't have one.
Yeah.
What did they do well? They run the ball. Nobody runs the ball on the Chiefs. Yep. I think this is a terrible matchup for Denver.
Yeah, I think that really for me, this is a huge opportunity for Xavier Worthy. And I know you talked a little bit as to why. I think part of the reason is that this is a rare occasion for the Chiefs where they play a noon home game. And that just doesn't happen with the Chiefs being just the primetime draw that they are. And, you know, for a rookie, and we talked all week long about the struggles of Xavier Worthy and growing into his role, this kind of takes a little bit of the pressure off. You're not on national TV in primetime. He's got now DeAndre Hopkins out there with him to help take some of the pressure off. Hopkins has gotten significantly more comfortable in the offense with Kansas City. You've got the top defensive back for Denver and Patrick Surtain more than likely covering DeAndre Hopkins. And I think this is going to be an opportunity where the pressure can be off of Xavier Worthy. I think Patrick Mahomes knows that. As we talked about, Mahomes likes to try to feed the guy that maybe has had the criticism, you know, earlier in a week. This is a big spot for Xavier Worthy to really show out and show that he's making those strides. If he doesn't, then yeah, I think at that point, yeah, like we can have a little bit more of a conversation about what's happening with Worthy, but I think there's a huge opportunity for him.
The other one that I would look at, and I just wasn't available when I was just looking, is Kelce over his receptions. You know, if it's like 5.5, which is where it usually is, I do think this is a game where Kelce could catch just a lot of passes. I don't know about yards for Kelce, but catches in general, I'd like. Paul, you picked Kansas City, Paul? I can't remember who you picked.
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. What is the path here for Denver? Because I can't find it. I can't find the path for Denver to be good. And I guess their defense muddying this up so badly, but man, I just feel like Mahomes is playing much better right now. And it seems so unlikely, but like offensively, I don't see what their path is to just move the ball and score a lot of points on Kansas City. It's going to take Kansas City mistakes.
Yeah. The path is very simple. Keep Kansas City on the sidelines. Don't let their offense out on the field. Run the football. Run time. There's something that they can do.
Can they do that?
Well, that's the question, isn't it?
Kansas City's got a good run defense. That's why we like the Chiefs. But Bo Nix can run. I will say this. Bo Nix can run. And the Chiefs have struggled against running quarterbacks historically. And Bo Nix can run. So maybe the path to your point in time of possession is for Bo Nix to be picking up first downs with his legs. I guess that would be a pretty big danger.
However you want to do it, however you want to frame it, I got you. That's fine with me. Multiple ways that you can do it. But come off the line, move the chains, and keep the clock running. You want to have a chance in this football game, you keep Patrick Mahomes and the offense off the field. It's pretty simple for me. Partly because, and the reason I say this, and of course nothing's as easy as we say in the NFL, for guys' sakes, nothing is easy. But the reason I say that is because, quite frankly, the Denver Broncos aren't the football team that the Kansas City Chiefs are. You can't let the Kansas City Chiefs touch the football, possess the football for long amounts of time, and run the football and control the football and keep your defense out on the field. The whole key is to keep somebody's defense out on the field playing long stretches of time. And so you asked me, Jacob, the initial question was, what's their course? How can they do this? That's it. Keep the offense off the field, control the football, and keep the clock running. That's it. I don't see another path.
The Chiefs have won a lot of really – you know, this may surprise people, but the only game the Chiefs have won by more than a touchdown was the San Francisco game.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the only game this year that has been more than a touchdown.
But you know what? Like, up until the last couple of weeks, they had covered the spread in every game but one leading up to the Raiders game and then, the game against the Buccaneers. So they've been pretty good at covering the number, even when it's been pretty close outside of the last couple of weeks. So even though they haven't had a whole bunch of double-digit wins, they've still done what they've needed to do.
And I do think there's a different, because the Chiefs have always been capable of like that dud where you're just like, what was that? The Colts game a couple of years ago is the one that really stands out. Where you're like,
the Raiders on Christmas, that's the biggest one that stands out to me.
But last year they were struggling, right? Sure. But when they're good and they lose one, but man, 8-0, Dan Israel doesn't think they care about 8-0, 9-0. They're going to start, if they keep winning, they're going to start caring about being undefeated, I think. That's just in Mahomes and Kelsey's DNA. So I think the likelihood of that dud game, maybe Denver can go out and do something, that's fine. I love the Chiefs in this game. And by the way, Nick's rushing yards, maybe that's one I'll throw into my parlay as well. We'll come back. We'll tell you what's on the network. It is a busy, busy weekend here. We'll tell you all about it next.